would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. Please be seated. A journalist was assigned to Jerusalem to kind of be the correspondent representative in Jerusalem for his local newspaper. And he rented a room across from the Wailing Wall. Now, the Wailing Wall is a wall where many Jews come to pray every day. And while he was watching there, over time, he saw an old man who he noticed was there every day praying very vigorously. And so he thought that there might be a story to this particular man. And he went down and he introduced himself to him. And he asked the man, you come here every day to the wall. What are you praying for? The old man replies, what am I praying for? In the morning, I pray for the world peace. Then I pray for the brotherhood of men. I go home and have a cup of tea. And then I come back to the wall and pray for the eradication of illness and disease from the earth. The journalist was taken by the old man's sincerity and persistence. You mean you've been coming to the wall to pray every day for these things? The man nodded. How long have you been coming to the wall to pray for these things? The old man becomes reflective and replies, how long? Maybe 20, 25 years? The amazed journalist finally asks, how does it feel to come and pray every day for over 20 years for these things? How does it feel? The old man replies, it feels like I'm praying to a wall. Have you ever felt that way? You ever felt like when you're praying, you're just kind of praying to the wall? Maybe your prayers aren't just going any higher than the ceiling? Well, I'm going to teach you today about prayer. Actually, I'm not going to teach you. Jesus is going to teach you about prayer. Because that's the question that the disciples asked him. Lord, would you teach us to pray? Would you teach us to pray in a sense like you pray? They'd seen Jesus praying all the time, and Jesus was very diligent in his prayers. Now you might wonder, why did Jesus have to pray? We see in the second lesson today that Jesus was God in human flesh, that the fullness of the deity resides in Jesus Christ. So why did he need to pray? Well, Jesus needed to pray because he humbled himself and became obedient, taking upon himself human form, so that he was relating to the Father as a human being. And so he was setting the example for us to follow, so if Jesus needed to pray, we would certainly need to pray as well. And so by Jesus using prayer as a way of demonstrating for us our need to pray, the disciples saw this, and so they asked Jesus, Lord, would you teach us how to pray like you pray? Because they'd seen Jesus do many great miracles and things like that, and so they wanted to have that same ability to connect with God. And so Jesus said, okay, you want to know how to pray? Here's how you pray. Would you turn to our gospel lesson today in the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. It's on page 1616, again, the Pew Bibles. And you'll notice that Jesus is giving us the Lord's Prayer here, what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's how he taught his disciples to pray. Now, the version we have here in Luke is a little different from the one in Matthew chapter 6, which has a little more detail to it. Luke just kind of gives the basic outline to the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. But the Lord's Prayer was never meant to be a prayer that we just said by rote over and over again, as if it's some sort of magical incantation. The Lord's Prayer really is a model for prayer. It's kind of an outline for prayer. So I want to go through this outline and give you some insights into prayer. For some of you, this will be old news. Some of these things will just be a reminder for you of what you already know about prayer. But for others of you, this may be something that might inspire you to a new level of prayer. Perhaps even might help you be more effective in your prayers. And so as we look at the Lord's Prayer, Jesus begins by saying in verse 2, when you pray, say, Father. And we say, the other version, of course, says, Our Father who art in heaven. And so we're really praying to our Father in heaven, and we're really acknowledging who he is, that he is our Father in heaven, that he is the great God and King. We honor God, we
the first part of our prayer really should be to acknowledge and think about who God is, the one to whom we're praying. Sometimes when we're praying, we also think about Jesus Christ, realizing that He is also God, that our prayers can be directed to Him as well. And so when we pray, our prayers should begin with praise, with thanksgiving, with adoration, with honoring who God is and thinking about the qualities of God as our eternal Father. And so we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're honoring the name of God. We're recognizing that His name is holy. We're recognizing that God's name is a name that should be praised and magnified among the people. And so we say, hallowed be your name. And then the next part is, your kingdom come. And another version of the Lord's Prayer says, your will be done. And so what we're praying for when we pray for His kingdom to come is that God would intervene in human history. That God would intervene in our lives. That the kingdom would come to this earth. That the kingdom would intersect with our human lives. Jesus, when He came to this earth, He brought kingdom power with Him. When He came to this earth, Jesus brought healing. People were healed. People were set free from demonic influences. People were delivered from all sorts of things in their lives. People were forgiven of their sins. People were set free from the things that were holding them back. And so when the kingdom comes, things happen. So when we're praying, we're asking for God's kingdom to come. We're asking for Him to intervene in our human lives and in the lives of others for whom we're praying. Certainly, when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we're praying for His rule and reign to be taking place all over the earth. And so when we pray, some of our prayer should be for the things going on in the world around us. We see that in our prayers of the people. We pray for different things related to the world around us. And certainly when we pray, our prayer should be that God's kingdom comes and that He begins to transform the lives of people so that their lives would be more in line with His righteous life. And so when we're praying, we're asking God to change the hearts of people. Now obviously the best way for the hearts of people to be changed is for them to come to know Jesus Christ. And so we're praying that people would come to have a relationship with Christ. We have a role to play in that as Christians in order for us to be able to introduce others to come to believe in Jesus Christ so that their lives can be changed as well. So we're praying that people would come to Christ, that they would come to know Him as their Savior. We're also praying that their lives would be changed, that they would begin to act differently, that they would begin to act in a more righteous way. We see in our world today so many unrighteous things that are happening. We see politicians that are involved in all sorts of sexual goings-on that are really kind of repugnant. We see people that are involved in all sorts of things that are, many of you are hearing these days about human trafficking that is going on. And we kind of turn a blind eye to that. That's really a big issue that's happening in our world today. And so we need to pray for things like that people would begin to change and not abuse people and not take advantage of them and mistreat them in that way. And so as we pray, we're praying for the world to change their attitudes. In a sense, we're praying for the world to turn around from their sinful ways. When we read our story in the Old Testament lesson today about Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah obviously were involved in a very great sin, according to God. And because of that, God wanted to wipe them all out. But then Abraham said, Lord, maybe if there's just a few righteous people, maybe you can withhold your wrath and your judgment upon them. And perhaps that might be the indication of how we are to pray. Lord, would you turn the hearts of people so that maybe this world can be spared a little while longer? We're asking God for God's help to change the hearts and minds of people so that they won't continue in the ways of sin. We're also praying at the same time that God would change our hearts, that we would no longer walk in the ways of sin, but we would walk in the ways of righteousness as well. So he goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us today, each day, our daily bread. So we really, the next part of our prayer should be asking God for the things that we need. There's nothing selfish or nothing that is wrong about asking God for the things that we need in our lives. Some people say, well, I don't want to focus on myself. I just want to focus on other people. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said we're to pray for the things that we need.
And certainly when we pray for those things, we're to believe that God is going to provide for the things that we need. And so as we're praying and asking God for these things, we're really asking for the things that we need. Now, if you're anything like me, sometimes I pray, and the things that I need, I think are needs, but really they're wants. Things that I really want, not necessarily things that I need. So sometimes we need to figure out the difference between a want and a need. And so when we're praying and asking God for the things that we need, we're really acknowledging that we're depending upon Him to be our provision. That He is the one who's going to provide for us and for our needs. That means we are looking to Him for all the things in our lives. And so, give us each day our daily bread. Give us the food, the shelter, the finances. Give us the things that we need. Well, that doesn't mean that we don't have any responsibility in terms of working and trying to earn our own living and that sort of thing. But ultimately, we're trusting in God for the things that we need in our lives. And so then he says, forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Forgive us our trespasses, our sins, the things that we do wrong. And so it's important for us when we come to pray to keep in mind that we need to ask God for forgiveness for the things that we have done. And that's why we have a confession in our service before we have communion, so that we can confess our sins before God, asking Him to forgive us. So when we're going through our daily lives, maybe you might forget to confess the sin that you've committed or something. So when you go into your time of prayer, it might be a good idea to begin your time of prayer after you've praise God, that sort of thing, with a time of confession, asking God to maybe reveal to you anything that you might have done for which you need forgiveness. And when you ask for His forgiveness, receive that forgiveness. Because Scripture says, as we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we confess our sins, that cleans the slate for us then to approach God and ask Him for the things that we need. And so as we're asking for Him to forgive us of our sins, we also have to recognize that we're called to forgive the sins of others who sin against us. We can't ask God to forgive us our sins if we're not willing to forgive the sins of those who sin against us. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you can't forgive somebody the sins that sin against you, how can your Heavenly Father forgive the sins that you commit? And so we're called to forgive the sins of those who sin against us. And then he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, as one of the other versions says. And deliver us from the evil one is probably a better translation of that. So we're asking God to help us to live the sort of life that would be able to resist the temptations that we face and would be able to reflect the righteousness that He wants us to live. And so when we're praying all these things, we're really praying for His will to be done in our lives. Part of the Lord's Prayer, as we know it, is that we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so when we're praying, we're asking for God's will to be done in our lives. That means that we're to pray according to the will of God. John says in one of his epistles that if we ask anything according to the will of God, we know that He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, we have that for which we've asked. Now the question often comes up, how do we know if it's God's will or not? And the answer is we don't always know whether it's God's will or not. There are some things that we do know that are God's will, and those things are those things found in Scripture. We know the things that we're to do in terms of behavior, those sorts of things are clearly outlined in Scripture. And there are other things that can give us an indication about the will of God. But ultimately we may not fully know the will of God. And so our prayer should be always offered with the understanding that we want God's will to be done, even if that overrides our prayer and our desire, our wishes, in terms of our asking of God. And so when we're praying for God's will to be done, we're asking that His way be accomplished on this earth and in our lives. And so when you pray, ask God to reveal His will to you. Sometimes He will do that. But ask Him to have His will accomplished when you pray, rather than just to have your own will accomplished. And then Jesus said in verse 5, suppose you have a friend and you go out to him at midnight and say, friend, give me 3 loaves of bread because somebody's come to visit, I'm out of food, and I want to give them something to eat.
And so the idea is that you're knocking at the door of this person's house, and the light comes on, and you've awakened them from sleep. And so the person comes down to the door, and he opens the door and says, you asked him for the food, and he says, you know, we're all asleep now. Why are you bothering us now? But the indication from this parable, this story here, is that the person continues to knock until that person receives what they're asking for. And so that's what Jesus is saying when he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. For anyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So what that tells us is that we are to continue to pray for the things that we need. If you don't receive an answer to your prayer, keep praying about it. If you don't receive any direction on how you should pray, keep praying about it. Keep praying until you receive an answer one way or the other. Sometimes the answer may be yes, sometimes it may be no, sometimes it may be wait a while, but keep praying until you receive an answer. And that's what we find so many people don't do. They pray about something and they stop praying for it. Sometimes we hear about people that pray for years for something before it actually happens. Some of the great saints have had their mothers pray for them, and they didn't receive an answer to that prayer for maybe 18 years or something like that. So we're to continue to pray, to seek, to ask, until we receive an answer from God. And so Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now that obviously assumes that we're going to be asking for the things that are according to God's will. When we ask for those things that are according to His will, we are going to get that for which we ask. So Jesus goes on to say, which of you fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks him for an egg, will give him a scorpion? So Jesus is trying to tell His disciples that the Father in heaven desires to help them, desires to listen to their prayers, desires to want to answer their prayers, desires to want to give them that which is best for them. And so as we pray, we're really seeking, asking God to give us that which is best for us and for those for whom we pray. And He goes on to say, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So may I suggest to you that that might be a good way to begin your prayer, by asking the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit, to give you His Holy Spirit so that He might direct and guide your prayers in the way that is according to the will of God. So if you fathers who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so we're to continually ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit, because it is only by the vehicle of the Holy Spirit that we're able to connect more fully with the will of God and with the desires of God in terms of our prayers. So I would encourage you to look at the Lord's Prayer not as just something that you say over and over again, but rather as a model for prayer. And as we offer our prayers each day, then following this kind of model for prayer, we'll begin to see more and more answers to our prayer, and we'll begin to find ourselves being drawn closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit so that we might be more sensitive to Your will, that we might know the things that we are to pray for, that You would give us a heart to pray for those things that are on Your heart, that You would give us the ability to not only ask for those things that are according to Your will, but to continually ask for the things that we need in our lives so that You may hear those prayers and answer them. Lord, I pray that You would inspire within each one of us a new depth of prayer so that we might begin to make even more of a difference in this world while there is still time. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.